We will start with Judge Conklin.
Present.
Judge Clark. Judge Getty. Judge Kalamkarian. Judge Kelly.
Here.
Judge Sieber informed us he will be absent today. Mr. Finke.
Here.
Mr. Kim.
Here.
Ms. Levine. Mr. O'Reilly.
Here. Oksana, I'm sorry, it's Judge Kalamkarian. You may not have heard me earlier. I was having trouble with my microphone, but I'm not anymore.
Thank you very much. We will mark you as present.
Thank you.
Let's continue. Mr. Slayton.
I'm present.
Mr. Taniguchi.
Here.
And Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, good afternoon, present.
So we have quorum and we can begin. Back to you, Judge Conklin.
I appreciate that very much. Thanks, folks. We have a couple matters on our agenda today, action items, but before we do that, we have our equally important but routine matters. The first would be to confirm through Oksana that we did not receive public comment. Is that correct, Oksana?
That is correct. No public comment came.
Okay. And we do have some minutes to approve from our March 7th FMS meeting. I assume you've all had an opportunity to review those minutes. I'd ask somebody to make a motion to approve those if you're comfortable with that.
Riley moves approval of the minutes.
Great. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll give that to David Yamasaki at this point. Moved and seconded that the minutes from that meeting be approved. Now that you've had a chance to consider that, any opposition to that motion? And hearing none, I'll deem the motion to approve those minutes unanimously approved. So folks, thanks very much. As I said a few minutes ago before we went online for gathering for our meeting today, we've got two action items. I anticipate they'll be relatively brief, but that doesn't mean to say they're not important. We have with us Don Will to present both these items. I think many of you are familiar with Don. He frequently presents to this committee. He always does a good job and we look forward to that today. The first item, item one, is described as the Model Self-Help Pilot Program for Technology Model Project Allocation Methodology. So both of these are allocation methodologies that we are so used to working out. They're both pretty precise. So the first, as I said, is Self-Help Pilot for Technology. And I will turn it over to Don to explain and present that. Don, thank you.
Thanks, Judge. The first item, we are bringing this to you. It's an allocation that you considered and decided on about 3 years ago. And given the ongoing need for services in self-help centers, the fact that the committee asked us to do a BCP for self-help expansion this year, kind of recognizing this, we wanted to bring back to the committee for consideration I don't want to call it a recommendation because staff don't make recommendations, but
a suggestion
to look at this again in the light of some things that are in the Court Innovations report. So I'll just jump into it. There is a longstanding budget allocation called the Model Self-Help Program, and it for many years went to 5 courts, each one to provide a different kind of self-help service. The self-help service designated for the Contra Costa Court, this is from about 2000 to about 2019, was model self-help technology. In the 2019-20 fiscal year, Contra Costa told us they could not participate anymore. And when we brought this to the committee, they recommended that the funding, which is $191,000 that went to Contra Costa, be put out to all courts as part of, we actually hooked on to the IT and signage and technology funding package. So in the 3 years that followed, we funded an average of 9 courts annually and with small to medium grants for self-help technology services. So as you may know, the base allocation for self-help centers in a small court is $34,000. 20 courts have allocations annually under 100,000, 9 of those under 50,000. So with these resources, self-help centers in small and medium courts are not able to provide access to the public during all business hours. They're not able to provide individual assistance in complex case types, such as conservatorship or consumer defense, consumer debt or eviction defense. They are limited in the kind of self-help attorneys they can both locate and then employ with these limited resources. So we're drawing your attention to the program that's linked in the report. It was piloted by Butte in the Court Innovations Grant and called the Self-Help Assistance and Referral Program. In this program, Butte managed a platform which linked 22 courts for primarily for video conferencing. And this model gave self-help represented litigants in all of these courts access to remote self-help services. It allowed courts to pool their intellectual property, their attorneys, so that qualified attorneys could be made available remotely through video conferencing. So we'd like the subcommittee to consider whether shifting the allocation methodology for this $191,000 to proposals for a project of this type would generate more benefits for the small courts and really for all courts who either need to keep restricted self-help center business hours or would like to give self-represented litigants in their county more access to legal experts in these complex case types. The participation in a program like that would be voluntary for any court. The Innovations Project focused on remote access to workshops, but for the greatest utility to the courts, we would recommend asking for proposals that would include a platform allowing both phone and chat to self-represented litigants, as well as video conferencing. So that although a small court may only be able to be open 4 hours a week or 8 hours a week, ultimately the litigants in that court, if they wanted to contact someone, the courts can share resources to have basically a hotline, someone on phone or on chat to be on the platform at all business hours, availability at least by appointment to conservatorship experts or eviction defense experts, and finally be able to do a warm handoff back to the court of origin to help them with their final filings, make an appointment, what have you. So that is that's the proposal, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks so much, Don. Just so one bookkeeping matter. I know that Judge Getty has now joined us, so that she's present. So and welcome. So Don, is the thought that this allocation go to a single court to develop the project that then would be spread among the participating courts?
Yes.
Okay. And given, frankly, while no sum of money is not appreciated, $191,000 is a very small amount when you would consider breaking that up among numerous courts. So this would allow one court to focus on a project, develop that project with the understanding and commitment that project would then be shared with the participating courts. Is that accurate?
Yes. So one court would host a platform that then any participating court could not just take advantage of, but also contribute to. So take the shift on Monday morning for doing live chat for all of the calls that come into the network, things like that.
Great. So any questions for Don about that? Or in general?
I have a question. So Don, if I understand you correctly, then each participating court would be contributing self-help attorney hours to to staff, live chat, video conference, whatever the communication is. And would it be limited to the number of courts?
No, I don't think so. I think that the if the platform can have decent calendaring software to switch from court to court for people to answer the phone, no, I don't think that there's a limit to the number of courts. We've thought that it might be about like the innovations grant, which was 22 courts, but there's no limit.
I mean, this is an intriguing idea. I mean, initially there's certain limitation on this, and that, you know, the courts have to know each other's business processes in order to be able to give that legal advice. But there is this issue of these self-represented litigants have a hard time figuring out what to do when they come into court, going out of court, and the amount of time assistance that our existing attorneys have is very limited. This could be a way of leveraging attorney time to help more litigants if you're sharing among courts.
Good point. Any other questions or concerns about the proposal that's set forth at page 6 of 13 of the materials? It's those three recommendations there. Any other concerns or thoughts? And is there...
My only thought was, I'm not aware of any courts providing self-help on conservatorship, although care courts might be now, consumer debt and evictions. I mean, it's a major expansion of services for $191,000. Maybe other courts are able to provide that. We've not been able to.
We do know that there are, there are a few courts that do it as a regular piece of their work. I think with Care Court and expansion, there might be more in the area of conservatorship. All of this would depend to some degree on the resources that the network can bring in. But I think that of the two objectives in the proposal, I think the second one, the legal expertise, is harder. But I think it can build the first one to kind of have the lights on for everybody in your county at all times, someone, you know, a live contact by phone or chat or whatever the platform is, I think is probably the easiest one at the beginning.
Okay. If there's no other comments or questions, is there a motion?
I'll move the recommendation, Neil Taniguchi.
All right. It's moved that recommendations 1, 2, and 3 at page 6 be approved. Is there a second?
I'll second, Judge.
All right. I think I saw David and Chad, but I think Chad jumped in first on this one. So moved and seconded that those recommendations be approved. Now it's open for further discussion. Any concerns or comments about the proposed motion?
What happens if you don't get an omnibus application for a grant?
If we don't get one, we would then, I think we put it out again as in the way it's been done this year, or in the previous 3 years, to the smaller grants for anyone who might have a self-help related technology need.
All right, so that's a good point that Judge Getty just raised. So if this is approved and put out there and nobody takes advantage of it, then as a backstop, we go to the existing methodology. Is that correct, Don?
Yeah, and Judge, we could amend, add a recommendation to say exactly what you said much better than I can repeat it.
All right. Who made Neil, you made the original motion. Would you be open to that amendment that the additional recommendation is that if nobody takes advantage of this methodology, that would the existing methodology would then be in place for the distribution?
Yes.
And Chad, you second that? Judge Getty, does that address your concern?
Do.
Okay. All right. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? And is there any opposition to the amended motion? Hearing no opposition, I'll deem the amended motion unanimously approved. So, Don, you're not done yet. Thanks so much for that one. We're now moving to the second recommendation, the second action item, and that's 2024 Care Courts Allocation Methodology. And I'll turn it right over to Don to present that. Don?
Okay. The committee, this subcommittee, and then the committee recommended and the council approved an allocation methodology for CARE Act last year for distributing the 23-24 funding, and the methodology was also at least structurally capable of allocating funding both in this next year, which is another ramp up year, and then finally in 25-26, which is a full year. So just as background, this funding methodology that we're recommending follows the points of the methodology used for the 23-24 allocations. In the 24-25 fiscal year, 8 courts will implement the CARE Act for the entire year. That's cohort 1 and Los Angeles. And then the remaining courts must implement by December 2024. The court budget, I'm going to advance to 25-26 when everyone is implementing the CARE Act for an entire year. The budget worked out with the Department of Finance and in the BCP that's attached in your report for a full year of implementation, all courts is $66 million for court operations. The court budget for FY 24-25, which is adjusted downwards, and the DOF's and others' interest in kind of taking advantage of those months when cohort 2 was not going to be fully implemented, that's adjusted downwards by those months for those courts so that we have $52.7 million available. Key elements of the methodology that were approved last year are, when at implementation, full implementation, a court receives a base of $93,225 for hearing-related costs and a base of $98,000 for non-hearing-related costs. Those are additive. So that's $191,225 as a base. And most small courts would receive that base, as well as some smallish to medium courts. After that base is allocated, everybody gets that, the remaining funding was allocated by the workload formula. So the going a little bit backwards, the base exists because if we allocate solely by the workload formula, there's almost nothing for a small court to mount a program. So the way we did the math here was because to break out the cohort 1 and LA courts for a full year of implementation and the cohort 2 courts for a portion of the year was in table 1. We set it out. So what does it look like in 25-26 when everyone is fully allocated at the 66 million? Then we moved those 8 courts into the table. We took the remainder and we allocated that remainder to cohort 2. At the same time, not prorating down the base amounts for cohort 2, but just the workload formula allocation piece. So an allocation base is now this year and next year the same for all the small courts. So that that was the math. It means that in the transition to 25-26, everyone will come up to what's in table 1, assuming that the budget is the same and the methodology is the same. And then in table 2, you see what the cohort 1 courts get and the cohort 2 courts. I'll just raise one question that's come up is courts that elect to implement early, which some courts are doing in cohort two. For small courts, it wouldn't make a difference because the base would still be the base, whether they're in cohort one or cohort two. For larger courts, if we adjust for this, we'll need some direction on where the adjustment money should come from. And I'm also, it also raises the question of if courts decide to implement early after TICBAC and JBBC go through their actions, getting ready for the July council meeting, then how would we manage that? So I left it as the kind of assumption that cohort two courts get the funding shown in table two. That's basically prorated to their base plus a workload formula allocation, and assuming about 7 months of funding. So I'm happy to, I know it's a lot, I'm happy to take questions. I can say that if I wasn't that clear, that the methodology as approved by the committee remains the same with the base amounts, and the workload formula.
Thanks, Don, very much. So questions about this proposal for the allocation of the CARE Act money? And Don made clear that this is all contingent, that I'll get to you, Neil, contingent upon that money remaining there. So with the budget as it is, things could change. We're moving forward with optimism, but things could change. So Neil, do you have a question?
So yeah, I have a question related to that, the last issue you had. For the cohort two courts that are deciding to go early, in our county has been wanting to go early for some time, and so they're starting July 1st. And you know, as a matter of practicality, our court costs are not going to be that much at the beginning. The question the county has had is whether money for representation of the clients can be allocated as of July 1st or soon thereafter if the cases start showing up in our court, like July or August. And that is that part of the hearing costs there in table two?
No, the legal representation funding comes onto the Judicial Council budget. So it's on the BCP, but then it goes, we're directed to transfer it to the state bar, who manages the legal representation funding. So we don't know for sure how the state bar will end up answering that question. And so what we could do is give your, if you want to put your county in contact with us, we can put them in contact with the people at the state bar. But I don't know, it's the money flows to the, per the Budget Act, the money flows to the Judicial Council. It's July before it flows to the state bar, and the state bar has to make contracts. So there's, you know, potentially a lag in getting a contract to do representation.
Does that answer your question, Neil?
Well, as good as it can be for now.
Yeah, it sounds like it's exactly that. I think Don is being clear that that might be something a little bit out of our control. Any other thoughts or concerns about the proposal as listed at page 9 of your materials? And if there's not, is there a motion?
Hi, this is Yamasaki. I move approval of the recommendations detailed on page 9 of the materials.
David, thank you so much. Is there a second?
I'll second. It's Judge Calancarian.
Thank you very much. Moved and seconded by the two Davids. So with that, any additional discussion? And is there any opposition to the motion as set forth in the materials? Hearing no opposition, I'll deem it unanimously approved. Thank you very much. Don, appreciate it. Always good to see you. Always efficient and thorough. And again, we're well ahead of schedule. Not that I want to interfere with anybody's lunch. Mm-hmm. We have meetings coming up. I think, Oksana, I'm not sure if you have it from Rose. I think our tick-back meeting that's going to be a pretty substantial one is on May 1st.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So look forward to that, folks. We've got some work ahead of us. And then obviously, Zlatko's not with us. And Fran, I don't know if you have anything to add about any budget updates. Zlatko gave us some brief budget updates a few days ago. And
he did, yeah. So Judge Kunkel, what I would say to that is really not a lot of new information. We're continuing to monitor the revenues coming in. You know, we see some income tax coming in higher, but overall the estimates are still under what the governor projected in January when he released his initial proposed budget. I think what we need to do is wait until the administration releases its May revision. This is the governor's update to the budget, and a new revenue forecast will be part of that presentation, and that will be presented to the legislature and made public on May 14th. So it will come after our May 1st meeting, but if we have any new information on May 1st, we'll definitely share it with the committee.
As always, much appreciated. And what that may lead to, folks, is just practicality. If we'll have our May 1st meeting, then the May revise will come out, and then we'll have to jump to it. So please stand by both FMS, where a lot of this will start, and then end up through TICBAC and then JBBC. So we're prepared and ready to move as that information comes out.
I think there was supposed to-
Judge Getty, go ahead.
There was supposed to be a new invite for the May 1 meeting because one of the invites was canceled.
So I believe, thank you, Judge Getty. I believe there was some issues, some of the meeting notice corrupted. So I think the original was canceled. The new one should have gone out, but if you're not seeing it, we will have our team go back and verify that everyone has the proper May 1st meeting on their calendar. So thank you for flagging that.
That'd be great, because there was a little bit of confusion about what was existing and what was canceled.
We'll so make sure
we if we could resend that to everybody.
Yes, and we'll flag new updated meeting for your awareness. Thank great. You.
Okay, everybody. Hopefully this gives you a little bit of your lunch hour to enjoy before you get back to work. Thank you all very much. Always good to see you remotely, and hopefully in person coming up soon. So with that, everybody enjoy your afternoon. And in retorts to David Yamasaki, go Dodgers. Thank you.
Thanks,
all.
Judge. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.